Rotatoes, we are back again for part two of episode four of Arc 3. Very excited to share this episode with you all, but even more excitingly, I want to tell you that Arc 9, episode 1, plus the talkback for that episode is now live on our Patreon, which is patreon.com/rotatingheroespod. Or in the description below. So if you want to go ahead and get access to all of the arcs currently out now in their full form, no part one, part two, and listen to arc 8 and arc 9, which are the brand new arcs with me as your DM, then you can go ahead and check those out right now. If you missed our announcement before, arc 9 features the one and only Vic Michaelis and, of course, Rashawn Scott to carry on the Burrow's End reunion tour that I'm currently on because I refuse to let it go because I loved it too much. I hope that you enjoy it. Take it away, Pasek.
And now presenting the Rotating Heroes Podcast.
Last time on the Rotating Heroes Pod, our rotators continued their adventure to save the forces of Fort Cutler from certain bug-laden doom. They started the session by crossing the quote-unquote Cutler Bridge, leaping from post to post across the dangerous waters and avoiding monstrous crocodiles in a team-building exercise from hell. That's where we are today.
Swim out of there. I would love to swim.
Cool. So I'll say you guys are safely, now that you're not trying to make these jumps on post, make it all the way to the other muddy banks of the other side of the water. It looks pretty similar to where you guys are at. But yeah, make a perception check if you would.
Is there a little patch of sun on the other side?
Yes.
Yeah, I'd love to get in the sun.
14.
14 for me as well.
For the crocodile, what am I looking at for his perception? Is it intelligence?
Perception is, I think, a wisdom.
A passive perception,
score.
10.
It's not your passive perception.
Okay.
Though.
What did you say it was? My what?
It's based off of wisdom. I think you just don't add anything.
Great.
If you're
a 6.
Cool. On a 14, I think you wouldn't notice anything else besides this. You guys are on this side of the shore. The banks are pretty muddy here, and you guys are kind of soaked. But other than that, you're doing okay. Like, it could have been much worse. As you get to the shore, you see the displacer beast behind you. And there's no way it's going to get across this water.
Phew.
It's like playing with the like cutoff end of the rope. It's mm-hmm. almost cute, except you know how fucking monstrous these things were. But in front of you, in the water, or on the muddy banks in front of you, while there's been a bunch of animals around here, you notice what looks to be a boot print.
Boot print. Well, I want to go check out this boot print and see if I maybe recognize it as one that might be from my father and brother's party.
Yeah, make an investigation check.
Okay.
I mean, you would probably, it's safe to say you don't, this route is definitely the different route from
right.
where they went. You would just know that, but.
Okay. Yeah, but maybe they've come through here through
cool.
some way. I don't know. So I got a 14.
14. You're looking at this boot print, comparing it to your own shoe and just, you know that like, it's not like modern day, so like everyone's boots are kind of the same.
Sure, standard Cutler boots.
These don't look like those.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Do they look like mine?
Everyone looks, takes off their shoes.
Everyone compares
them to these boot prints. They don't look like the boots. You would probably have a similar boot.
I didn't know if it'd be like an elven boot.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, totally. These don't quite look like yours either.
Okay.
Hmm.
And they don't look like a crocodile paw either.
Sure, okay. Yeah, Grib holds up.
For free, I'll give you guys
paw.
That.
Thank you. For free? That's kind. That's your suggestion.
That is kind. Wow. Really kind. Thank you.
Well, I don't know who's... Someone's been here, but it can't be anyone from the party that we're searching for. I don't know who this could be.
I feel like at this point, it's probably more advantageous for me to not be a crocodile. So I will... I just want to make sure. Yes, I will pop out. Can I do a quick perception check? Can I smell the footprint?
Yes, you can.
Wow.
Are you using like keen sense or something?
I will for this perception check, so I do get advantage.
Okay.
Because it's, if it's specifically smell.
21.
Not yet, 21.
Right? Grib, you're smelling this boot print.
I guess I would like to see, like, if the scent is close, like, how far away the source
scent
is, maybe? Yeah.
Oh, gotcha, yeah.
Or the recentness
on a 21,
is,
yeah. You would notice that this is, like, probably hours old. And the smell does not feel, it feels like a strong smell. Like it smells like kind of strange to you. It doesn't smell like anyone you know. But you would, I think you would be able to tell that it's been a couple hours since this person has been here.
Mm.
Or this thing that wears a boot.
Well, it's not fresh, but it's not old either. I think we should proceed with as much caution as possible.
Grib, I just have to say it's nice to have you back as Grib. For a moment, I thought you had died and become... The crocodile had turned you into a crocodile and you were dead, so it's nice to see you again.
I didn't hear much wailing from you if you were truly grieving. And
I wailed brief. There was a moment of wailing.
He pokes him with his trunk to kind of make it, let it be known he's being playful.
It makes Rufus go, hee.
I think you guys would notice that from this boot print and what you're looking at, this like overgrown former trail, they're kind of going in the same direction a little. So up to you guys how you proceed, but it's in generally the same direction.
I feel like Grib is like still kind of coming off this like jail hangover, and he's gotten some good rest, but he's still kind of tired. And I think there's just been so much going on that he would like to kind of be able to like tread some ground without being bothered. And especially with this new threat, would it be overkill for us to proceed under the guise of Pass Without Trace?
Not at all. So Pass Without Trace, for those who don't know, is... you mind reading?
A veil of shadows and silence radiates from you, masking you and your... masking you and your companions from detection. For the duration, each creature you choose within 30 feet of you, including you, has plus 10 to dexterity, stealth checks, and can't be tracked except by magical means. A creature that receives this bonus leaves behind no tracks or other traces of its passage.
Cool. Grib, just sort of like... unfurls from a crocodile into his Loxodon form, and you see this swirl of natural energy radiate from Grib and encircle all of you. As you walk past this boot print in the ground, you leave no boot prints.
Wow.
Should we roll a stealth check, or are we good for now?
Yeah, I mean, tell me what you're doing. If you guys are just... proceeding down this
sort of trail. Yeah, I think we should continue
trail.
Down the trail we meant to cross, right?
Yeah, it's like still midday, like everybody's feeling okay, right?
Yeah.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll say, yeah, you don't really need a short rest, do you? Up to you guys.
It would do so little for me because, yeah.
I am menstruating, but I'm feeling good.
With that in consideration.
Thank you.
Acknowledge it,
yeah,
and make sure.
Okay,
that
good.
There's
glad
space
we're,
for that.
Glad we're checking in. Good to know.
I did want to make a little. I did want to like throw this out there, Zach. As we are, as we're traversing through the forest, I would particularly like Grib to keep his eye out for. Can I just give you a quick list of plants that he would like to keep an eye out?
Yeah,
water hemlock, deadly nightshade. White snake root, castor bean, rosary pea, any of those. They're all poisonous plants.
Okay, cool. You guys are going to be traveling under this guise of Pass Without Trace, so you're a little stealthier. Grib, you're going to be looking out for that. Does anybody else have anything they want to look for or anything that, is on their mind?
No, I think I'm, yeah.
All right, so you guys begin walking down what used to be a trail, following these boot prints further into the forest and generally towards where you guys want to go. So
we're taking off. We're very quiet. I'm looking for poisons. There's really no necessary... You can't really find a link as to why Grit would be looking for poison, but he's looking for poisonous plants. It's kind of... He's kind of getting bored with the soundscape of the forest, so he pipes up and...
Mm-hmm.
I must be honest, it's very rare that I've ever felt like I'm supposed to be where I'm... I feel like I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be. Where do you feel like you're supposed to be most of the time? Where do you feel the most comfortable?
I've never felt I belonged I mean, except for with Abbess Willow, who makes anyone feel welcome. But I agree with the sensation you're describing. I feel this is exactly where I'm supposed to be, and you are exactly who I'm supposed to be with.
As for me, I would say I'd feel most comfortable probably either in charge or maybe in the training yard at Fort Cutler doing my target practice. But then Rufus pauses, and he's feeling a little vulnerable and honest out here on the trail after everything we've been through, and kind of kicks the dirt, and he goes, but the truth is I never really felt 100% comfortable in the training yard. It sort of felt like I wasn't quite as good at some of the stuff as even some of the cadets, even some of the young children, really. Some of the young children at Fort Cutler were better at the bow than I was. But right now, here in the forest, I do feel like I understand this place and the two of you.
Has there ever been another time where you felt at ease and not like you did on the training yard before you came to the forest?
Well, I had a only good dream the other night where I was in a nice cabin eating some stew, and that felt pretty comfortable. Nothing else happened in the dream.
May I ask why you described it as only good and not just a good dream?
Grib and Freya, make insight checks. Rufus, make a deception check.
Okay, yeah, okay, good. Ooh. Okay, deception 17 for me.
19.
18.
You couldn't get it past us.
So this was even one of Rufus's better lies.
Yeah, true. It was really convincing.
Yeah, Rufus, you felt pretty good about
that.
Yeah,
I was like, wow, I really nailed that bit of sociopathy.
But at that moment, both Freya and Grib are able to see through this. It's probably something about the phrasing of it.
Right, yeah.
You know that he's kind of hiding something from you.
Why are you looking at me like that? What's?
Do you think we were born yesterday?
Hmm?
Do you think we were born yesterday?
No, I don't. What are you implying?
Well, we've been very vulnerable with each other. We've been in some life-threatening circumstances now. I would say we're at a place where we can share with each other.
I just shared with you very openly. I told you the thing about the children being better than me at the bow. I've never said that out loud.
Listen, no, but I had seen it.
As a person who's walked around most of his life claiming that he's completely normal when he's completely not, your dream was nothing but normal if you brought it up.
All that happened in the dream was I was eating some stew in the cabin, and then a weird spectral figure with glowing red eyes appeared and said something that I don't totally remember that was either it's time to come home or maybe you should go home or I don't remember exactly.
It's time for you to wake up.
Oh, okay. And this strange ghostly monster told me that it was time for me to wake up, and I felt its voice echoing in a place in my heart and my mind that chilled me to the core. That's all that happened. It's just a standard nightmare.
This is not standard at all. Ah!
It's very, very troubling since we're here and we were going somewhere and it seems like this is the place that we shouldn't be.
Well, what? It's not like you're telling me someone else in this party had a significant dream that same night in the forest? No, all
well,
right?
I don't know about that.
What do you mean?
Now what's
Grim?
That? Now what's about? That?
Nothing.
Okay, well,
I just had a dream about pumpkins.
Okay, well,
yeah, make a deception check and everyone make insight checks.
Oh, insight six.
I got a 25.
I only got a 7, but still.
You still beat the 6.
You still beat
yeah,
it.
I'm one above what everyone gets.
Yeah, you, Grib, you didn't feel great about that one. You,
yeah.
Pumpkins, you maybe saw a pumpkin behind Rufus's head at that point.
I turn around and look at the pumpkin and realize Grib was Kaiser Soze-ing this as horribly as possible.
I too had a dream.
Okay.
But it wasn't disturbing as that. It was actually more of a relief. It appears in my dream, my seed gave me a map to where a giant tree and appeared a trunk of what I can only assume would be somebody like myself.
Another elephant boy? An elephant person?
Yes, another elephant boy, Rufus.
I corrected myself. I don't know what... I don't know, okay? I'm sorry.
Dreams.
This is new territory for me.
Smom goes, she.
Look, I know what it sounds like, but if we're not allowed to learn and grow, then what? How is
you're
this
right,
going to work?
You're right. Quite odd that we both had transmissions. Grib doesn't refer to dreams as dreams, he refers to them as transmissions.
Okay, let me jot that down for the Grib canon.
Grib doesn't call dreams dreams, he calls them transmissions.
Yeah, okay, great.
That's canon now, and I know I said dreams in the past, but now it's transmissions. Mm-hmm. It's strange that we both received transmissions at the same night.
Well, what would they mean? Did you have a dream at all?
Well, I didn't go to sleep when you did, but I did sleep and I didn't dream, no.
Do you think, and I, on the heels of what I just said, I'm worried about how this might sound, but do you think that could have been related to you menstruating?
Don't say
well,
it.
Well, I was going to say it, but I didn't know if I'd mentioned it too much.
Yeesh. So I'm grow up. It's a part of life, okay?
Actually, Rufus, for once, you're not far off. I don't tend to dream when I menstruate. I tend to sleep like a log.
All right. Well, what could these dreams mean? I don't know how to interpret them or if they would change our actions on this trail at all. Grib, have you ever encountered anything like this before?
I certainly haven't. I mean, the only idea I have would be to put the seed in the ground to see if it illuminates a path. But even that feels too gauche, too simple.
Why not? Why else carry a magic seed around if you're not going to throw it in the ground when some force tells you to?
Well, I can tell you why, because the person who has the seed won't fucking give it back to me. Oops, sorry. Little heat there. Too much
heat. All right. Will it still work if I put the seed in the ground? It's still in my possession.
I'm going to say no.
All right. The two of you better work this out quickly. I don't want to hear you talk about your seed any longer.
Okay. Grib, I will return the seed to you and let you plant it in the ground potentially show us the way.
Yes.
But of course, I will need some form of collateral that I can then return to you at the end of the expedition so that our leverage and power dynamic stays the same.
You can have Swam.
Have Swam.
Wait. Hang on.
Do you have anything else in maybe your inventory or anything that would be more interesting to me than I just don't know about taking on a Zwam. No offense, Zwam. Zwam, you and I totally get along, but I just wonder if there's literally anything else.
Interesting. When you say no offense, I didn't feel anything, so nice.
Oh, good.
Nice. I love the idea of no offense because it makes it clear what you should feel.
Right, so. Yeah, good. Yeah, good. You, Zwam, gets it.
No offense taken. Do you give him the seed or what do you...
I have nothing else to offer. I have the clothes on my back and my jewels on my head are too precious for me to give.
Fine, I'll take Zwam. I don't know how I'll take Zwam. Maybe if I just sort of take Zwam in name only, but he could remain in your tattoo.
Well, that's the whole thing is like, I guess logistically, I don't know how I can just like make him pop over.
Zwam, just like you look at your tattoo and Zwam pokes out from behind the Ragnaros tattoo, and he has a little tattoo on his arm of Rufus.
Okay, so we've got it on the record. Here you go. Here's your seed.
Thank you.
Amazing. I wish I could jump to your body, but I don't think
no,
I can.
No need. I think that's best.
We'll figure it out.
Don't think too hard on it, on how to figure it out.
Zwam, you've handled all of this very bravely.
Yeah, I know. Thank you.
As we're traveling, you know, Rufus sort of was a little vulnerable, and that's making Grib feel like he should be a little vulnerable, too. And again, the it's weirdly how deafening the silence of this forest is. And so he offers if perhaps I could fill the time by reading an original poem.
A poem?
Grib!
Wow.
I do fancy myself a bit of a wordsmith.
You contain multitudes, and I continue to be surprised. Please, I would love to hear a poem.
We'd be lucky to hear the poem.
Great. And Grib opens a book. They can't see what the title of this book is, but it looks like he's about like a quarter way of through reading of the book, and he pulls out a piece of paper that appears to be like a bookmark, and that's the paper that he pulls out to read. And then he quickly puts the book that he's been reading back. This poem is called My Sweetest Cup of Tea. And Grip, please don't roast me. My Sweetest Cup of Tea by Grip. A jasmine soaked, honey scented wind swept up fairy wings, tossing her in my kitchen. Ere I rested, she zipped boundlessly with a gesture in mind, a rush of water, a twist of a flame, the crack of bergamot, steeped with intention. Inside, a chipped rooster mug, sweet vanilla woke him. A lonesome bear, he loafed to the kitchen. Bellowed by her wings, steam plumed from the cup, inviting him to drink. It was the sweetest tea he had ever tasted. So sweet, he forgot about all the chips and cracks in all of his mugs. As she snuck away back to her dense dwelling tree, he saw her. She did not panic. Even though she had never been seen before, she knew she was the sweetest cup of tea he had ever tasted.
My wow. God. And Gribbit, that's an original poem?
It's a poem I wrote. That is a poem Grib wrote.
Oh my wow. God.
Freya's just super, incredible. Super on her period and weeping.
Incredible.
Sometimes people come into your life and they leave.
Mm. Oh. You all notice this sweet Loxodon traipsing through the forest, artificially silent. And, vulnerable all the same.
Wow.
As you guys continue on through the woods, make a stealth check for him. And you add 10 to that per pass without trace.
Cool. I got a 23.
Oh, Freya, I forgot to say this. As a paladin and wearing chainmail, you have to make stealth checks with disadvantage.
Ooh.
So
oh,
roll
wow.
two, take the lower, but you still add 10 to the, whatever the
oh,
lower.
Oh, okay, great.
Oh, so, and I add 10 as well. So then I got I actually got a 33. I got a 33.
Wow.
33. Sheesh.
I got a 20.
With the 10, I got a 14.
Okay. Yeah, Freya is a little like clunkier than the rest
bloated.
Of you guys.
Bloated.
Generally okay stealth rolls. Grib, you're like, you know, able to hide better than Freya. It seems like Rufus disappeared into another dimension.
Mm-hmm. I'm kind of like hopping from behind one tree to another tree. I'm really using my full forest knowledge to
it's pretty impressive.
Slide
it's,
effortlessly.
I think the first time Grib's truly been impressed by mm-hmm. by Rufus.
I'm doing lots of like the way strongmen would hop around and go like, hip, hop, hip, hop. I'm doing that kind of jumping around the forest.
Really quiet?
Yeah.
as you guys are stealthing through the forest, you start to hear something ahead. You hear, it's getting a little later in the day. It's probably around 4 p.m. You kind of can smell something that almost smells like, it smells probably like a fire. And then almost mixed with that, like something else. Like it just smells kind of bad. And as you hear like a deep rumbling laughter, as you get closer, you see a fire with three human figures around it. They're dressed in sort of like cobbled together leather armor. It feels like they've scavenged most of it. It's got sort of this like reddish brown powdery streak of paint across it, and across, you know, some of them have it on their heads, like they, most of them have these like pretty intense looking mohawks, and they're sitting around a fire in the middle of the woods and drinking. One of them passes this like flagon to another guy, and he's like, drink up, boys. We're going to be set when we get back tomorrow. And then the other guy is like, yeah, this one will fetch a pretty penny. And he points to something on the ground, and you see
what looks like a little tied up figure. It looks like a child on the ground. Everybody make a perception check. Grib, you can do this with advantage.
14.
22.
16.
Freya, I'm not sure if you would have met one at this point, but you've definitely learned about it. And Grib, 16's high enough that you would know what that is. It's a little gnome right up next to them. And you hear them continue to discuss, and they're like, "Are you sure we can't eat this one? I mean, it was going to make a pretty good soup out here." And the first bandit, who looks like he's in charge, is like, "That's enough of that. We're lucky we caught this little bugger." And you see the little guy shaking, and not shaking, but struggling against his ropes. He's got a little, he has something like gagging him as well, so he can't speak. The wind shifts behind them, and you see like a branch break behind one of them on the other side of where you guys are. And one guy pulls his like sword, and he's like, he looks really scared, and he's like, "What was that?" And the first guy is like, "What?" Like, laughs at him when they don't see anything. And he's like, "What are you scared? The warden's gonna get you?" He says, "Shut up. What if I was?" And they all kind of like collectively make fun of this one guy who looks scared. He's like, "Oh, he's scared of a big bad monster." And they just continue to hang out for a second. What do you guys do?
They can't hear us if we speak, right?
Because of yeah, quick huddle, quick team huddle in our bubble of
sort of a stage whisper.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you what I see here, gang. I see an innocent gnome, which I know to be a kind race. And I see him being taken advantage of by three disgusting ne'er-do-wells. I don't think there's much to these men's lives to save. I propose killing two of them and taking the third alive and seeing if we can gather any information about this forest or what might have happened to my father and brother.
I should also point out that up until this point, Rufus, you guys didn't even know people in the forest.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Yeah.
This is pretty unusual to see.
Yeah. So I'm like, these men have no business being here in the forest. I know they're here under some strange orders or by some evil. So it's in my interest to find out from at least one of them who they are and why.
Perhaps they know certain paths of passage. Maybe it's a familiar mm-hmm. trade route, a bandit route.
So maybe we kill whichever two look dumber.
Okay. I also think there might be something larger going on here, not to overcomplicate the situation, but just knowing that there's someone ahead of us and we don't know who or what, mm-hmm. and that third one seemed very startled, like maybe he really did sense something. I'm feeling like I should use some divine sense or something at the moment to detect any evil, if that's even allowed.
Freya, you can commune with your paladin powers and see if you feel anything beyond this.
Okay, so Freya kind of goes quiet for a moment. She goes into herself. We see the wind whisper around her. Flutes are lightly playing.
Can you read Divine Sense for us?
Yeah, so Divine Sense, it does say as an action.
That's okay. Okay. Yeah, you can use an action.
You can detect good and evil. You can sense anything affected by the hallow spell or know the location of any celestial, fiend, undead within 60 feet that is not behind total cover.
Cool. So in 60 feet, you don't necessarily feel anything right here. These guys are, just from looking at them and the fact that they've like taken someone prisoner and they were talking about eating them, they don't seem like good guys, but as far as like worldly magical evil, there's not really anything going on to that level with these three guys, but they don't look like good guys.
Okay,
but you were doing that to test what might be beyond them, right?
Yeah, but
yes.
Maybe
oh yes, but within 60 feet you're not feel like, does it say beyond 60 feet something happens? But okay,
within. So
within 60 feet you don't necessarily feel anything here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, in the immediate area, I don't feel anything evil except for the, you know, base evilness of greed and monstery that these men have. Mm-hmm.
I suggest if we are going to attack, we take them by surprise. And perhaps we create a noise further out in the forest so one of them goes and checks. He's already on mm-hmm. his wits.
Really smart.
So one of us can make a noise while the other lies in wait and jumps out and attacks.
I think we let one go walk into the forest and we attack the two that remain.
Yes.
And as the one returns, pop goes the weasel.
So we kill the first two and then attack the one when he returns.
Yes, Pop Goes the Weasel.
It wasn't crystal clear to me what Pop Goes the Weasel meant in this context. So I just
okay.
We're still far away, right? We still have some.
You're like, they're like in a little bit of a clearing. I would say you guys are probably like close enough to hear them. Mm-hmm. So like you're probably within 30 feet, but like behind bushes and stuff.
Cool. Can I use Druidcraft to make a little noise?
What's the range on that?
About 30 feet. So 30 feet away from us, the noise of a foot smack breaking a branch, or just the sound of a branch.
Cool. So what direction? Because they're like in front of you, and you like if they're in the center of a
so
circle.
So essentially, if they're in front of us, and we're the cream of the Oreo, I want the sound to be the last cookie.
So behind.
Correct. So they. He travels beyond us.
Okay, so you want him to come towards you. I got it. Yeah, so you're able to do that. You snap a twig 30 feet behind you. Let's see what happens. And it's loud enough that you want them to hear, right?
Yeah, I want it to try and be like a secondary like beat of him getting up, being like, "What was that?"
Okay, so it's loud enough that all three of them look up and are like, "I didn't make that up. That was right, but that was over there. I'm telling you, I didn't make it. Yeah, well, you guys are making me feel bad for being scared of a monster that ripped up a ton of our brothers. What are you talking about?" And they're like, "Well, I guess I did hear that as well." And they like all. You see them pull out bigger axes, and one of them kind of just like pumps his chest, and he's like, "I'm not scared of anything." And he just runs out towards you guys, leaving the other two behind. What do you guys do as this guy comes towards you?
Well, we should stealth check for him, right?
Yeah.
Because wait, so were you trying to get him to come at us or go away from us?
I want
us
him
so
to go. Yeah. I'll try and be as clear.
Because he
as...
has to go past you guys, so you guys have to make
yeah,
a stealth check.
That's fine. Yes. Yeah. Okay. I'll try and be as clear as possible. I want him to run past so he's gone. We attack the two people.
Right, it's, but I mean, is it easier if he...
How do you know that one guy's going to go is my question.
Well, didn't you just say one guy took off?
Yes. It's sort of planny, so I'm wondering... Like...
How I anticipated that because you said that one guy stood up with his sword out, that right. that guy yeah. had the tenacity to continue to follow through with his suspicions.
Cool. So, yeah, that guy it got up. And he is going to walk past you guys.
Great.
Okay.
But that is, that means he comes towards you guys. Whether he sees you or not is up to these stealth checks. So okay. Just roll your stealth check.
And I do mine with disadvantage, right?
Disadvantage, but you still have passed without trace.
Does anything apply to me being in the forest with this?
I think if you're not proficient.
I am proficient.
No, but then you add that 3.
Great. So I got 16.
27. And are we adding a 10 to this? That's the pass without trace?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, then 26.
I got a 19.
19, 26, and Grib?
26. So I have 7, 27.
Okay. So he keeps walking. He's like walking right past you guys and doesn't notice.
We should try and spring on them. So we should all like...
Well, I'm wondering, should I shoot my bow and then the two of you jump out?
Well, I have a ranged attack, too, so we could all technically have a surprise round where we all attack those two people.
Yeah, I think we should do a ranged attack and then jump in.
You guys get a surprise round because of the way this is working, so everyone just roll attacks on these guys.
Okay.
On whoever, tell me who you're attacking. There's three guys. There's one guy who went past you guys. Mm-hmm. He's not that much further past you. It would be like someone 15 feet away from them attack their friends, so that he's going to turn around probably. But then there's two guys sitting down there who aren't really paying attention. One looks like to be in charge, a little bit bigger. And the other guy is also just kind of one of the underling types.
Then I think, because the idea was to get these two and try to take the guy who comes back alive, right? So then...
Yes.
I'm gonna shoot for the man in charge. I'm going to notch my arrow and shoot it at his friggin' neck.
Tight. Everyone, tell me who they're attacking. We're gonna all do the attacks at once. But yeah. So Rufus, roll your attack to see if you hit.
16.
16 hits. Roll damage.
11.
An arrow thuds into this man's arm.
who was just sitting there drinking, and he's like, ah, what the fuck is going on? And screams. They look around, scared. You guys can take the rest of your surprise around.
Great. I'm going to cast Scorching Ray.
Cool.
I will do two rays on the big boss, and I will do one ray on the small weenie boy.
So these guys aren't weenie boys, but they're little.
Well, I think I'm going to refer to them as little.
I'm not a weenie boy.
So I'll just do... I'm going to roll all my hit right now. First one, 24.
Hits.
Second one, 18.
Hits.
Third one, 16.
All three hit.
Wow.
Great. First damage for...
These first two are for the captain guy, right?
Yeah. So six for the first ray.
And do you have something that adds to your damage or healing? Didn't you have
Yes, I can read it if it's helpful.
Oh, no, I'm just making sure you have that back.
Yeah, I'm rolling a d8. You know what? My wild spirit has to be summoned for that. So the first one only does 4 damage, not 6. That's my mistake.
Oh.
And then the second one does 7 damage.
Okay.
And then the third one...
And that's on the weenie guy?
No, the first two, the 6 and the 7 are on the boss.
Yeah.
And this last one here is 2 damage on the weenie boy.
So you hit that guy for 2. Freya, what are you up to?
Oh, so Freya looks at the two and assesses who seems worse off. So which one of these two is damaged more?
One guy got hit for 2 damage. One guy got hit for a couple of shots. So one guy, the captain guy, looks worse off.
Okay, then I'm going to go for the other weenie boy. I'm going to... I'm going to go for the weenie boy, and I'm going to throw my javelin at him.
Cool. You throw a javelin. You can also, like, at this point, he's not going to be less surprised if you run up and attack him.
Ooh.
So,
You can do that. Yeah. No. With that in mind, actually, Freya's going to go ahead and lead this charge and attack with her great sword.
Freya bursts through the foliage and comes at these two dudes who are just sitting around a fire. Roll your damage. Roll your attack.
24.
Hits.
For my attack.
Oh, and roll both to see if you hit twice, and then roll the damage on the attacks if you want.
Okay.
So let's see if that, because you have 2 attacks now, right?
Yes, that's true. So first attack, 24. Second attack, 23.
Great, both hit. How much damage is that?
Great, so with my Divine Smite, I'm rolling a 26 damage.
Amazing, so that's 2 hits and 1 Divine Smite. Pretty brutal to this guy.
Yeah.
he is not doing great. After that, everyone roll their dice. We're going to roll initiative.
9.
6.
20.
Whoa.
So now that they're awake, that was your surprise round. You're in an actual initiative. Rufus, you're first. These two guys at the fire look fucked up already.
Okay, but they're still standing. We haven't dispatched these guys fully yet, have we?
Not yet.
It's Rufus's inclination to go for the top man on the totem pole, since that's who he is. So he wants to take out the rival, so he's going to spring forward for the captain, pull out his hand axes, and say, I'm going to cut your head off.
What? Who are you?
Straight into the point.
Mm-hmm. And take 2 attacks.
Okay. We got a 15, and we got a crit 27, baby.
Wow.
Hell yes.
Big money.
You see him pull out his blade. He's one of the other two guys have axes, and he has a scimitar that he just unleashes. He's able to, you feel like both those should have hit, but he's able to pull this one out, and your hit should have hit, but you know that like he used his prowess to block the first one. That was a 15. But the second one, the crit, nails him. Roll damage on that. You're able to bury your axe deep into this guy's shoulder.
Wow.
Roll double dice.
Yeah, 12.
12 damage. You nail this guy. Rufus, your axe that doesn't get blocked just hits this guy deep in the shoulder. He's still sitting down at this point like, what the fuck? After that, do you do anything else?
I'm just a little disappointed I didn't cut his head off. But I go ahead and...
I got a thick neck.
I pull the axe out of his thick neck and get ready to strike again.
After Rufus's turn, Freya, it is you.
Okay, great. I think I'm actually going to cut this guy's head off.
Wow. Good luck, you know.
Everybody stop trying to cut my head off. Yeah, roll your attack.
Okay, I'm gonna go great sword against him. Okay, we got a 22 and a 12.
Cool, the 22 hits, the 12 does not. Roll damage for that first attack and tell me what you do.
11.
Oof. Cool, and that's just a regular attack?
That's a regular attack.
Cool. From the other side, Freya lines up the shot and just buries her greatsword deep into the guy's other shoulder. He's like, fuck, please, everybody stop trying to cut off my head.
This guy has got to be spewing out of these neck arteries.
Yeah, it's like it's shooting out like Monty Python.
Ah!
Sorry, you said 11 or 12?
11.
Cool. After that, this berserker who's watching his like captain's head almost be chopped off, he's like, oh, you know, you don't chop off our heads, we chop off your heads. And he's going to go up to Rufus and take two swings.
Oh!
You see him get really pissed off, and he's really angry at you.
Oh, he's got that berserker.
He's
going
to take his attacks. So he's shaking with rage. He's going to take attack at you with advantage.
No!
Wait.
Oh, no.
Does a 14 hit?
I'm 15.
Even with advantage, he's so mad, he almost swings around and hits his own captain's head. He barely misses. He cuts off a little bit of his hair. He's like...
cuts off
I'm just so mad. After that, the other berserker running from behind sees Grib in front of him. He's also pissed. He's like, nobody tricks me with sticks, and takes two swings at Grib. Rolls two threes, fully misses, whiffs, fall down. After that, Grib, it's your turn.
I'll turn my attention to the guy who's complaining about his head not being cut off, and I go, perhaps you're right. Perhaps it will get burnt off, and then I produce flame right on his head.
Mm. The captain's like, please, please,
this
don't.
Guy's having a tough day with his head.
Roll your attack and damage.
21.
Oof. To hit?
Yes.
Yeah, hits.
6 damage.
Nice.
Oh, wow. Yeah, this man is Joe Pesci in Home Alone. His his like little beanie off. He had a little beanie on, by the way.
Oh, good.
It is burned off. You see the crown of his head, the smoldering skin
and
on top of him. At that point, he like leaps up, like, everybody stop trying to mess with my head. He like shakes off the blades. He fully draws his sword, and he's going to make 3 attacks, one at each of you.
Oh, fuck.
Bring it on.
I've never rolled worse. He takes his scimitar out. He swings once at Freya, once at Rufus, and pulls his dagger and swings at Grib. He's got 2 weapons. He's like, there's a lot of flourish here. All 3 miss.
Well, his head is very battered in.
He's like, I'm sorry, people are trying to cut off my head, and my head is a little melting right now, so cut me some slack.
A little melting.
Rufus, it's your turn.
I've got both my axes. I got a guy with a burning head who just missed some attacks. A burning head and a bleeding neck right in front of me. There's the other guy, and then the third running in, right?
Yeah.
He's who I want to take alive. I got to get the damn kill stroke on this captain once for all. So I'm going to swing both axes together at either side of his head, taking 2 equal shots to see if I can cut this guy's head off with 2 clean strokes.
Amazing. Roll your attacks.
Okay. 10 and a 21.
10 misses, 21 does hit. Mm-hmm. Roll. So one of them, you're just kind of short.
Yeah. It just sort of, misjudged.
The dexterity of using 2 hands at once is a little awkward.
Because one arm is far out enough, but the other I pulled in too tight to my body.
Yeah.
Just a depth perception problem.
Roll your damage on that hit.
6.
6. Yeah, this other axe connects, going deeper into his neck, and he's like, Jesus, please, anything else?
See,
just any other
come
parts
on.
Of the
and
body?
I aimed for the notch that was already cut. I really thought I'd have hit and severed bone by now. This guy's neck is thick.
I do have a thick neck, and you'll never cut it off. After Rufus, do you want to do anything else with your turn?
Is it too late to do action surge?
Not at all. You can action surge.
Then I'm going to take one last sneaky chop
with
that axe that didn't quite connect.
A sneaky cheeky chop from Rufus. Ooh. Rufus, roll one more attack.
Ooh, a sneaky cheeky chop.
Oh, I rolled a 1.
No!
So it's an 8. No!
Rufus. Unfortunately, the depth perception was
again.
It's,
yeah,
there's something going on. It's like an optical illusion with how his head is barely hanging on, and you unfortunately miss.
I'm gonna stick to the right. Those left swings are. I'm not a switch hitter.
Freya, it is your turn. This man's head is barely hanging on, but he's with it. He's like psyching himself up. The other two guys, one guy's running in at Grib. What are you up to?
One guy's running at Grib.
Well, the guy that y'all like got away from the group is back in the fray. So,
okay. Okay. I think we gotta finish off this captain though. And that guy we kind of want to keep alive. So, I'm going to go ahead and attack this captain with my greatsword. However, I'm going to go for a plunge to the gut. And we're going to hope that...
You want to see some of that dark blood. You want to see some of that kidney
see the
blood,
dark blood.
That liver blood.
Yeah.
Horrifying. Freya, roll your attacks.
Okay. Great. Okay, 14 and 22.
The 22 for sure hits. Roll damage.
Okay. And I am going to roll this damage with Divine Smite. Total damage is 24.
Sheesh. All right. So as this man's head is like barely hanging on, you've made this sort of, you have this mini game almost of trying to chop off this man's head. Freya just changes her mind at the end and plunges her sword that crackles with the divine energy right into his chest, getting that dark blood as he falls over, dying, saying, "I always knew my head would stay on the end."
And that pisses me right off.
Yeah, you know what? For that, I do apologize. That was obnoxious.
Nah, dude. Dark blood gang, dude. Hashtag dark blood gang.
These berserkers are going to go now. They're shaking with rage still. I'm so mad. One's going to take a swing at Rufus with advantage. That definitely hits. One's going to take a swing at Grib. Yeah, 19 hits Grib for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Grib, you get hit for 10 damage.
Oof.
And Rufus, you only take 4.
Okay.
These guys are swinging wildly and they look like, they're not being defensive at all. After that, Grib, it's your turn.
The one that just swang at me, I'm going to cast Burning Hands.
Okay, cool. Roll your attack.
You'll have to make a dexterity saving throw. 15 is the save.
Okay. He saves.
So he'll take half damage.
Okay.
Ooh, 14, so 7.
7 damage on that guy.
Yeah, Grib sticks his trunk at this guy who just completely whiffed it and just blasts him with a wall of fire, or a cone of fire, rather.
Damn.
Sheesh.
Amazing. After that, Burning Hands, what is the damage on Burning Hands? 7?
3d6.
Oh,
3D6. But it was half, so I rolled a 14.
Cool. Totally. After that, Rufus, it's your turn.
Okay. So we've got Grib is kind of dealing with the one berserker who was still by the fire. And there's this third guy who's approached who hasn't been dealt with yet at all. And he's the one we might be trying to keep alive, right?
So that's the one that he just burned, yeah.
Oh, wait. Grib just burned the third one who popped up?
Yes.
Okay. Because I'm wondering if I did an unarmed strike on him, would that be part of like...
These guys have a lot more health than that, I should
say.
Yeah,
gotcha. Okay, so we should get him down a bit before I try to knock his ass out. So in that case, I'm going to forget him and I'm going to attack that second guy who was first by the fire. I believe we've been referring to him as the Weenie Boy.
Yes, Weenie Boy.
Weenie Boy looks up as you come at him. You can take these attacks with advantage because of the way he was swinging.
Great. So that's 4 different rolls. Holy shit. Here we go.
Yeah, paired off.
Yes. 12 and 26.
Okay, the 12 doesn't hit unless you use your bracers.
No, and then 17 and 16.
Okay, gotcha. So both those hit. Roll damage just roll all that damage.
Damage was a 6 and a 5 for a total of 11.
This guy's fucked up, but still still standing at this moment. The other guy is a little hurt, but still standing as well. After Rufus, Freya, you're up.
And I get 2 attacks per turn. Is that right?
Yeah.
Cool. For my first one, can I go ahead and try and do? Freya's worried about this other guy, our guy who stepped away, and she wants to try.
That's the one that's a little burned.
Right. She wants to try and get him tied up. Can I do a nature's wrath on him to try him? Or is he within 10 feet of me?
He could be if you move to him. Yeah, I mean, you guys are in like a little area that, yeah, you have 30 feet of movement probably.
Okay. Then I think Freya's going to run toward this guy and go for nature's wrath to try and restrain him with some vines.
Wow. Cool. What kind of check does he make?
Either strength or dexterity. Saving throw.
Cool. He rolled a 16. What is the save?
DC 16.
Hmm.
Okay, so he bursts out of these vines.
Damn it!
Grib is still impressed. I mean, he has never really seen other people manipulate plants like he did.
Wow, okay.
He's noticed.
Freya kind of says, gah!
You have anything else you can do with your turn?
Yes, I can do another attack, right?
So unfortunately, the way actions work, those two attacks are under one action. So you can't really divvy it up in that
okay.
way.
Okay.
Because Nature's Wrath is also an action, I think.
I see. Okay, so then I don't think I have anything
so,
else I can do.
Yeah, under the umbrella of one action, you have two attacks.
I see.
So it's kind of complicated.
Two A words.
Cool. So after that, the berserkers are going to go. This guy is going to just run up to you and attack wildly. He's going to hit, and he's going to hit you for 6 damage. The other one is going to come up to Rufus and take two swings, or take a swing with advantage. Does a 16 hit?
Yes.
He's going to hit you for 11 damage.
Okay.
He makes contact. After that,
I don't care for this.
Grib, it is your turn.
I am going to produce flame again on the weenie boy.
Weenie boy is going to get hit by this produce flame.
Oh,
or
10 beefs it.
You miss. Weenie boy dodges. After that, do you do anything else?
That's it. Thank you.
Cool.
I yield my time. Fuck you.
Great. After Grib, the bandit captain's dead. Rufus, it's your turn again.
Well, it's time to, if I couldn't cut off one guy's head, I might as well see if I can cut off another guy's head. I'd like to swing both axes from the side, try to get it right this time, and cut off this person's head.
The weenie boy?
That's right, the weenie boy.
Take two attacks with advantage.
Okay. Wow.
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 26 for the first and 23 for the second.
Cool, roll damage.
9 and 5 for a total of 14.
Yeah, you're able to land two axe blows on this guy. He's on death's door, essentially. He's
come on, I can't cut someone's head off to save my life.
Freya, it is your turn. There's these two guys. They don't look like they want to be taken prisoner. I'll say that. These guys are the ones that are like berserker, rager dudes that are trying to kill you guys. It's going to be a little hard to just like catch them right now.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go ahead to our weenie boy. And...
Weenie boy!
And
weenie
I...
boy! Serve me, weenie boy!
I'm going to try and cut off his head with my greatsword.
Wow, okay. So much for Dark Blood game.
Well, I don't know. You want to see a head get cut off.
That's true. I would like to see a head get cut off.
So I'm just going to do like a roundabout swing. Like a run and then a roundabout swing.
You can
swing.
Do this with advantage, by the way.
Hell yes.
Is that like a Cutler thing? Like you're not a true Cutler until you see somebody's head get cut off or something?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe that's a bit of family lore. Ideally, it's you cut off someone's head.
Yeah.
But I sort of count it as...
25 and 23.
Jesus. Okay, roll damage.
So that's a total of 21 damage between the two attacks.
Sheesh. This man, you're trying to cut his head off?
Trying to cut his head off. We're trying to do an Anne Boleyn.
Yeah, you guys look over and see Freya just... cleanly chopped this
yes.
man's head off. Last, there's one berserker left. He looks on at his friend's head. He is gonna try to run.
Yes.
So he's just starts sprinting away. So he is now gonna be 60 feet away from you guys. It is now Grib's turn.
I will cast Entangle.
Cool. What's his save?
15. Strength.
He fails. So these vines grab him and he falls to the ground, struggling against
him. And I kind of look to Freya and like a sort of like a playful, like, that's how it's done.
And Freya does like a sort of playful, I bow to you.
It's a really intimate moment. I'm glad you guys could connect like that.
So this man's entangled in these ropes and in these vines that Grib launched on him. At this point, why don't we exit initiative as he is struggling against the vines and fail to save? Aren't these dead bodies around? There's this gnome on the ground, and there's this entangled man.
Well, I'm going to run over to the entangled man and jump on top of him and yell, who are you and who do you work for? And hit him a little bit.
Render him on, yeah, as he's trying to render him unconscious, I'll simultaneously untie the gnome.
Mm-hmm.
Cool, the little gnome, you untie him. And sorry, Rufus, you've tied up this other guy and like...
Because he's entangled in the vine still, right?
Yeah, I mean, that would probably like... That's like a spell that only lasts for a certain amount of
time.
Okay,
then so yes, I've hog-tied him at this point. I flip him over and hog-tie
him. You've hogtied this guy. You let the gnome go. The gnome like looks at you guys. He looks relieved, and he walks over to where Rufus is, and he pulls a knife out of his boot and he slits the man's throat.
No!
He takes the little gag out of his mouth. He goes, "Oh guys, my name's Creebeach," and that's the end of the episode.
No.
Cribbage.
Sorry, guys.
Cribbage.
What a wild episode. Covered a lot of ground. Sorry that Cribbage had different goals than you guys, unfortunately.
Good Cribbage.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode. We'll be back next week with an Arc Bark to discuss the events of this one. We had a lot happen, so it's kind of a doozy. As always, you can listen to these folks on other podcasts. Anybody want to jump in here?
Sure, yes. Listen to you first.
Oh, you can check out the podcast I co-host with Talia Tabin, Friends Talk, Frasier, and Feelings. It does not have to do with D&D, but it does have to do with Frasier, and I think it's close.
And you can listen to my podcast firsthand that I co-host with Greg Gallant. It has nothing to do with this nerdy shit.
Hey, man.
For my plug, just hit my line. Send me a picture of a cool cloud or a sunset that you check out this week. Thanks. Hit my line.
Damn, that's a better plug. I'm going to remember that for the future to solicit something from the audience.
Send it to me. Hit my line.
So, yeah, you can follow everybody on Twitter if you go to at Rotating Heroes Pod, I think, on Twitter. And everyone's handles are in there. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week. Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
We hope that you enjoyed that episode of Rotating Heroes. That was DM'd by the one and only Zach Oyama, and the players were Victoria Longwell, Jacob Waisaki, and Devin Field. Remember, if you're enjoying Rotating Heroes, then please go ahead and check out the Rotating Heroes Patreon, which is where you can get early access to all of the episodes. You can get them in full as well, so not part one and part two. And you can also get the exclusive talkbacks, which is where the crew dissect and talk about everything that happened in obviously totally the most serious possible way. So why, I don't even know why you'd think anything else. This episode has been edited and produced by Zach Oyama and Jasper William Cartwright, which is me. Bye!